unlike most public figures in America, I believe that people ought to be honest and say what they mean and mean what they say. I do not speak or go places to seek the approval of people. I go hoping that we can have an honest dialogue and at the end of the evening understand one another. So if there are those that come tonight that don't like me, when you leave and you still don't like me, I hope you sleep well tonight, because I will. Because I did not come to be liked. I came for us to have a dialogue. And I'm not going to say what I think people want to hear. I'm going to say what I believe. And I hope that you will say or ask what you believe. And that if we do not agree, we can at least agree to disagree in a civil and in a constructive way. Because this country will not, in my judgment, ever become as great as it can be until we can have a fair exchange of honest dialogue. The issues that have surrounded the discussions of cultural diversity and race and politics are always emotional issues. Why? Because it always touches people where they live. But it is healthier and better and in the long run more constructive to put them out front and deal with them rather than to have them as the unspoken thing that we're all concerned about but not mature enough to discuss. Many people lack the maturity to have those kind of reasonable discussions. And I would hope that we get beyond that in this country. I do, however, want to start by saying in the last 6 months, I was finding myself preaching at the funeral and speaking at the funeral of two of the funerals of Rosa Parks and speaking at the wake of Coretta Scott King and attending her funeral, which brought back to this nation in many ways the civil rights movement of the 60s and the 50s. I having come in the aftermath of that and being youth director in New York of Dr. King's organization after his death, knew a lot more about that movement from those that were the real participants. And it amazes me the distortions that we have seen in the media and the distortion of activities that we have seen around these events, that we have in many ways began to redo in the projection of history actually what happened. And I think it's instructive if we're honest about what happened, because then we can see in a better light what you and I go through today and what many will go through in the future around this question of race and diversity. The civil rights movement in the 50s and the 60s was around the issues of discrimination that were both legal as well as led by those that, in my judgment, were vigilantes that were protected by laws and protected by agreements that emboldened them to rob people of their civil and human rights. So we start in the 50s, where Rosa Parks sat on a bus. But the issues of discrimination and segregation went way back until blacks were first brought here to these shores. The issue that Rosa Parks brought to bear was not an issue that was applauded and universally acclaimed like it was when she died. It was amazing to me to see the president and others mourn Rosa Parks, four presidents attend Coretta Scott King's funeral. But when I was your age, I remembered that half of those presidents openly opposed the federal holiday for Martin Luther King. So in death, a lot of acclaim and support was given these women that they never enjoyed in the high point of their public career. The reason I say that is that many that you would deem maybe even on campus as people that are, quote, controversial, will be the ones that will make society move forward and will be appreciated in the long run, rather than those that go along to get along and those that go along with the status quo and don't have the courage to stand up and do what is right.